As a retreat comes to an end, a useful question to ask is what is beginning? What have you seen or understood afresh through these weeks of lockdown and of retreat? What perhaps have you done differently, whether it's by force of circumstances or by your choice? And what has God been doing? Do you have a sense of wanting to leave something behind of who you were and how you lived before lockdown? And is there some glimpse of an invitation that comes from God's Spirit and your Spirit? A new direction of travel, perhaps, or a part of you that's been unlived that you've discovered over these weeks and you want to go on exploring? A something you want to do with your life? What's beginning? You probably won't know at this point where it will lead you, or how it will make you, or how the shape of your life will be different if you dare to go with it. A seed is planted. What will it become? Changes that take place in our life are often like this. We don't see the whole picture, and we don't know how things will work out in the end. But we are aware that something is moving and that it is significant. Take, for example, the experience of Francesco Bernardoni, or as we know him more familiarly, Francis of Assisi. He was the son of a wealthy cloth merchant. As a young man, he seemed to have it all. Good looks, an outward-going and generous personality that made him the centre of his group of friends, money to spend, and fine clothes to wear. And with all that, he was unsettled. The future mapped out for him as a dutiful son carrying on with his father's business held little appeal for him. So what was he to do? He tried his hand at being a soldier. There were endless conflicts between Assisi and neighbouring cities. But it didn't go well. On his first attempt, he was captured and imprisoned by the enemy. On the next, he fell ill before even reaching the place of battle. And then there were these disturbing dreams, questioning whether he really knew what he wanted. Francis drifted into a twilight zone, no longer able to enjoy the life he once had as the centre of his social circle, nor able to know what shape of life would satisfy him. He no longer felt comfortable in company and hid away in solitary places. A social isolation, born out of his confusion and unhappiness. There was a cave where he would often seek shelter from his fears, and a ruined church that felt good to sit in, gazing at the figure of the naked Christ on the cross, seemingly at home within the crumbling masonry. And into the broken ground of his uncertainty, seeds of his future began to fall, and then to root and grow. In his testament, written some 20 years later, just before his death, he looked back to one particular moment when fresh understanding began to break through. And these are his words. The Lord gave to me, Brother Francis, thus to begin to do penance. For when I was in sin, it seemed to me very bitter to see lepers. And the Lord himself led me amongst them, and I showed mercy to them. And when I left them, that which had seemed to me bitter was changed for me into sweetness of soul and body. And afterwards, I delayed a little and left the world. what happened for Francis on that day? The bitter became sweet. Lepers represented everything the young Francis was not: outcast, disfigured, poor, and feared. And yet that day, instead of turning away as he had always done, compassion sprung in his depths. He embraced the lepers he now felt an intimate connection with. And somehow it linked with that naked Christ, there on the cross amidst the ruins, choosing to embrace humanity in all its brokenness. Not the Almighty God of our formal prayers, but the more surprising, all humble God, who does not cling to what he has, but gladly shares all. And if Francis too felt like a leper inside, Christ embraced him too. In Francis's own words, he delayed a little. The seed of this experience took time to grow. As it grew, it drew him into a whole new way of living. Life was not about the money of his youth, the money that was eagerly grasped as a personal possession, the money that some had and some lacked. Life was about the freedom of giving and receiving, recognizing how everyone and everything is connected as part of one communion. Within Francis grew the intuitive understanding that the one and the only pattern for all our relationships is the shape of God's relating. Not hoarding, but sharing. Not distancing, but connecting. Not setting aside the other, but identifying with them. The created world was not an it to be used or abused, but a you to be reverenced and honoured. Nations and religions and groups of people were not set up to be in competition with each other, but to complete one another. And joy came not from grasping what we desire out of fear, but in giving and receiving. A poverty, if you like, but a richness of relationship, a life expressed in God, and a life to be lived with one another. Seeds fell into Francis's life. His dissatisfaction with the life of his youth, the breaking down of his former dreams, a cross in a ruined church that seemed to speak to him, a meeting with lepers where what was bitter became sweet. Francis' response was to delay a little, that is, to stay with questions rather than bury them, and to avoid the temptation to attempt to pick up the life he'd formerly lived. Instead, he decided to act on what he was given to see, even if the whole picture of where his life was going wasn't clear. At the end of a retreat, and as we continue to travel through these lockdown days, it is good to ask ourselves, what is beginning? Attempting to look too far into the future may prove unhelpful. Of course, we want to know what these new seeds planted in our broken ground might become. But like Francis, we will only know this as we dare to trust that these are seeds of new life, however unformed they may be. For many of us, something strange has been going on as this lockdown has continued. As much as we long more intensely to be free of our constraints, to hug those we love, to party, to to travel, to work without fear and without limits. Many of us are also afraid of losing what we have gained or glimpsed. Some part of us recognizes truth and life when we meet it. A new pattern for how we might live as a family, perhaps. The surprise of deeper connections with neighbours in a time when we're kept apart. The simplicity of taking time to be present to trees and stars and birds and weather. The realisation that there is more to us than is summed up by our role or our work. A restlessness or dissatisfaction that hints at the more our life might be. Or is it a newfound intimacy with God? Or a desire to make a difference to our world by the life we live? A realisation we can't carry on as we have done in the past. The fear of losing these glimpses of a larger or a different life tells us that here are insights, questions, or directions to be listened to, waited upon, treasured, and as far as we're able, lived. It helps to recognise that the growth of these seeds of new understanding and new living is not wholly dependent on us. As the Spirit has planted them, so the Spirit will continue to make them grow. And yet, our cooperation is needed to be attentive to them and to respond to their invitation. It is said that at the heart of Francis of Assisi's prayer was the question, "Who are you, God, and who am I?" Perhaps more than a question, it was a stance, a way to hold himself open, to be transformed by continually gazing at God. He looked at the leper. He gazed at the image of the naked Christ in ruined church. His heart was filled with mercy. Next Sunday is Pentecost. The disciples of Jesus, together with Mary, wait together for what is to come, not knowing how the Spirit will transform their lives. What they hold together are the seeds of their experience of Jesus, his living, dying and rising. What will they become? Through this Pentecost week, ask God to help you remember the gifts of this lockdown, the gifts of this retreat. What have you received? What have you understood afresh? What might be beginning here? And wait and work with the Spirit, who will bring what has been sown to its harvest in older lives, in younger lives, in my life and in your life. Jesus often spoke about seeds. The kingdom of God is as if someone would scatter seed on the ground and would sleep and rise night and day, and the seed would sprout and grow. He does not know how. The earth produces of itself, first the stalk, then the head, then the full grain in the head. But when the grain is ripe, at once he goes in with his sickle, because the harvest has come.